Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of On Point Phoenix. We'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. I'm your host, A-Trey, and on my left and my right behind me and just in front of me, my best friend right here, Dr. James Moore. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you today?
Not too bad. I figure if it got any better, man, I'd have to bottle it and sell it. I'm lying. I'm doing all right, though.
Hey, we always looking for new business ideas, right?
You know, hopefully all of our listeners, you guys had a very good week. If you didn't, remember, you're here to listen. You're here with us right now, so you made it through it, which means that you got something better coming anyway. So that put that behind you, and let's move forward, because forward is always a wonderful direction to move. This week in our segment, State of Our Union, our topic, do I have the right? Wasn't I born into one? This week we're going to explore the idea of being publicly recognized third-rate citizens in our own country. We're going to look at why any of the other ethnicities outside of those that are direct descendants of the pilgrims has to have permission to have voting rights extended to them. Or even extended for them. Why is that? And we have to live on the cusp of having our rights extinguished due to a law that has been continually signed into extension. And what happens if it doesn't get signed? These are some of the questions we'll review and today, right here at On Point. So feel free to call us today. We would love to hear some feedback. 347-855-8662. 347-855-8662. You know, let your voice be heard as well. Jay, I was looking at something that, you know, caught my attention, and it's probably every day. You know, I don't mind if a senator, a governor, councilman, mayor, president touch base with us and let me know, put me in my place, because I saw something that didn't sit well with me. President Lyndon B. Johnson, and we were talking about this before, but bring it back up, but this is an extended version of it. President Lyndon B. Johnson signed into law the Voters' Rights Act. But something I noticed since then was every Republican president has had to sign an extension to it. President Nixon, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., and George Bush Jr. What's even funnier is that two of them signed a 25-year extension for us to have voters' rights. And that's a little bewildering to me, because think about this. If you're any other ethnicity, and I'm not making it a color issue, this is just a fact. If you're any other ethnicity aside from apparently Caucasian, you have to be given a right to vote. I find that disturbing, seeing as to how so many other individuals and ethnicities have added and aided and helped construct this nation. And after those, you know, skip the whole slavery thing. It happened. You know, I'm not belittling it. I'm not eschewing it off as if it wasn't important, but it happened. It's done. All those individuals after that first 100 years, they're Americans. You were born in the they were born into servitude, but they're Americans. Filtered down through time, you know, 400 years, wonderful, you're Americans. 50 years ago, you know, no concept of what slavery was when I was born that day. I'm American. When I go to, if I go to France or Montreal or Mexico, they don't say, oh, there's a black guy. No. They go, oh, there's Americans. And if you, anything else, they say, oh, that's their native country. So why do I have to have a bill or a law that has to be continually extended in order for me to have rights to vote for the country my forefathers, my parents, and even I helped to bring about or help keep running, help design, help make, help plan for, help function? What is that all about?
Trey, after our chat last week, this morning I got up and I was kind of surfing the web, looking for a little bit more detail on what we're actually talking about today. And I was looking at, there was some coverage under the special provisions of the Voters' Rights Act. And I want to focus on a couple sections, just for a quick second here. Section 4 and Section 5. Now, it was kind of interesting. Congress enacted the Voting Rights Act of 65. And it determines that racial discrimination in voting had been more prevalent in certain particular areas. And Section 4 came up with a formula to identify those areas and provide a tougher or stringent remedy, they said, were appropriate. And this was a 5-year suspension of a test or device such as a literacy test or some sort of prerequisite to enable someone to register to vote. The secondary piece of that was to look at any change in votes made in a covered area, either by the District of Columbia and by the Attorney of District of Columbia at the Attorney General. And then the third piece of that, or tertiary component, was the ability of the Attorney General to certify that, you know, specified jurisdictions also required the appointment of federal examiners. Now, there's a bunch of stuff in there, and unless you're a lawyer, you're really adept at this stuff. Maybe, you know, it can be a lot jumbled up in there. But what really stood out to me was it was a 5-year suspension of a test or device. That was for Section 4. Section 5 was created and enacted to freeze changes in any election practices or procedures in those jurisdictions until the new procedures had been determined, either after some sort of an administrative review by the AG or after a lawsuit or something of that nature. And I just thought it was interesting that when you're reviewing whether or not someone's rights are being violated, that there was a 5-year suspension of the test. Okay, if you figured out that there's a test or a device that is discriminatory against folks, why would there be a limit?
Why in the hell have it in the first place? Why? I'm sorry. In 1965, when President Johnson had, you know, made the law permanent, and as I was reading, it was supposed to bar any type of barriers for any political stance that one could make. And it was supposed to be against any racial and ethnic any ethnic or racial minority, and it was supposed to prohibit illegal election practices, and that would deny their rights to vote. Period. That's what he signed into law. It went horribly wrong when Richard Nixon brought it in, because he wrote an extension and an amendment to it. Now, this Section 5 that you're speaking about, my thing is this. If there's a dog outside the house and he's going to bite me. And I get, you know, I get another neighbor, put a chain on him, and pull him back. And I say, you know what? The chain will break in another 2 days. Then I'll get another neighbor to put another chain on him and pull him back. And then that'll break in another 3 days, and I'll get another, and so on. Why in the hell don't we just call animal control and get rid of it? Get rid of the threat, the thing that we know is not right. Don't extend the wrong. Don't do that. That's like 50,000 levels of stupidity to me. Am I wrong? Am I looking at this wrong?
I think you're right. I think sometimes logic escapes those folks who are in the upper echelons of leadership, and that's scary, you know. And if I can tie in something, you know, in 2013, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling, they actually struck down Section 4 of the Voters' Rights Act. And I thought that was really interesting because it was put there to protect people. So this goes back to that. Now, you know, we know that it's been used to block voter ID laws in Texas,
right,
and different things like that. But they're saying that the court didn't take this lightly, and it took care to avoid ruling on the constitutionality of the Voting Rights Act. That was really interesting. They said the Congress could have updated the formula at that time, but didn't. And its failure to do that left us with no choice to declare it unconstitutional. So they say the formula in that section can no longer be used as a basis for subjecting jurisdictions to preclearance. Now, that's interesting. If you have anybody out there that's a lawyer that specializes in constitutional law or any other type of law, you'd like to chime in.
Please.
347-855-8662. You know, and I can tell you, this is not necessarily my area of study, but I found it interesting that this, you know, we know that there's voter rights acts going on where, you know, those places are being, there are certain places that we talked about, Alabama last week, that are doing things that we know are not constitutional, that we know are not moral, that we know are, you know, and I understand that sometimes something that's legal is not necessarily ethical, and something that's ethical is not necessarily legal. But when it crosses both of those lines and it's that blatant and that rapacious, you have to look at that. And I think what happens is, you know, so many people, they won't investigate. You know, I hear people, they watch the news and they hear what somebody says and that's the end of it. They take that for, they don't do any research. And that
right,
to me is a little bit, I find that scary. I really find it scary.
I'm thinking, and we touched lightly off air. I wanna do something and write, get a petition signed. I just want a thousand people just to show that the concern exists, and have that attached to a letter to our president, Barack Hussein Obama, in the White House, and bring this to their attention. I'm like, okay, and you know what? And people go, oh, they don't know. They don't tell me that they know everything. And I'm like, no, it's not that way. Listen, there's places in my house that have dust I don't know about. For as clean as I want to be, I know that there's a speck of dust somewhere in my house I'm not aware of. There's a bug somewhere in the attic I don't know about. You know, and he's visible. It's evident he's in my house. My house exists. So just because he's the president doesn't mean he's aware of every single thing. And because you're human, you're not going to be. But this, we can bring to
the
attention.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Although I think that if I may emulsify a thought with that and also say it's not that he does or doesn't know everything, I think sometimes we need to point it out to folks that we know.
I agree.
And that we're aware of it and that we have to put it out there. And I think that that's another thing because, you know, I had a very interesting conversation with a friend of mine some time back, and it was during the election. And you know me, I'm former military. And
we were
having a conversation, and we had the disagreement. It was a spirited argument. I'll call it spirited. And you know, it was very effusive. We were sharing our perspective. He said to me something that got my feathers ruffled. And I said, well, did you know? Because I had always come up through the school thought, if you don't get to complain. He said, well, no, I didn't vote. I said, well, hold on, what are you complaining about? He says, I have just as much right to complain as anybody else. I said, well, but you didn't vote. He says, yeah, I know. I said, well, see, I'm former military, and I put my life on the line for you to have the right to vote. He said, yes, you did, but also for my right to choose not to. And I had to stop for a minute and think about that, because he's right. I didn't agree with him. I didn't like it. I still don't like it. You know, even if you vote against someone or, you know, vote for someone or whatever, you know, put your vote out there is the way I thought of it. He said, you fought also for my right to choose not to. Now, being who I am, I was like, oh, I know something wrong with this guy. But, you know, he had a point. And I think that,
right.
You know, we have to stop and look at that. People have the choice not to. You have that choice. But I also think that you have the right to do so, and you should act on it. Because for me, I'm like, you know, look at what folks went through. Yeah, I understand you have the right not to. It can change, and if enough people get out there, we put our perspectives out there. We're not, you know, what do you have to lose by spending, you know, 10, 20 minutes out of your day on a Tuesday evening, you know, punching through some papers or drawing some little lines with a marker, how we do out here in Arizona, you know? Which reminds me, one show we're going to have to talk about these Diebold machines and how they can be hacked and adjusted and things like that. That's another conversation for another day, but we need to talk about that because there's a gentleman out there who was hired to work on that project. And we need to see if we can locate him.
I think we can.
So it's out there. I have a buddy who's very adept at the political side of things. He knows a little bit about the people, machines, and you know, you just don't vote. We never get a receipt.
Well,
you can't prove who you voted for. You get a sticker that says you voted, but you don't get a receipt. I go to the ATM. I get a receipt. I take out 40, 50, 60 bucks, or I guess not 50 here in Arizona. You can't do that. Back in the old Navy Fed credit union days, you could do that. But you get a receipt. Hey, I took out X. But if I go vote, think about what would have happened in Florida if everybody had a receipt, or at least the majority of folks. We wouldn't have had the old dangling Chad issue. We wouldn't have had all those weird pictures and news stories. And maybe this current election would be going in a different direction.
Right. I'm with you. I think we're mildly obligated to shine a light on those things that are in plain sight with a shadow over them. This has a shadow to me. And it's one of those things that's out there, like there's still a state in our union. I'd mentioned this before. I don't think that it would be enforced. The fact of the matter is it's still a law. So imagine you have a housekeeper, and I'm not going to say that it's Louisiana or Kansas, but let's say you have a housekeeper. She happens to be African American. He happens to be African American or Latino, and they happen to or Asian, and they happen to miss work for the next 2 days. They'd be gone. And let's just say that the person who owns the house isn't either one of those ethnicities, but of a much lighter hue. And let's say they called the police because the person was missing. There's still a law on the books that allows the police or enforces the police to go collect those individuals, bring them back to the property for loss of workmanship. It's the Lost Slaves Act. Feel free, look it up. Don't care. And they if the person is gone, they're returned back to the property from which they were from which they were originally working. Now, it was a slave state. That's outdated. Those laws weren't made for us. It was made for the protection of individuals not like us. And I think that a lot of the rules, the guidelines, the laws nowadays have to be revamped. Up north in Arizona, they have a tree called the Hanging Tree. It's in Wickenburg.
Yeah, I have no interest in visiting that spot.
And I'm going to just ask, I'm going to just let you know, people, feel free to go check that out. Feel free to look at it. Find it. Google it. The Hanging Tree. And then see the history behind it. And then if you'd like, if you're not of a much, much brighter hue, and you decide to go through Wickenburg, note that they have it roped off, chained off, with nice little memorial and plaque saying the history of this tree is so grand and so great. And there's a law that if you break one of the branches or something to that tree, you deface it, you could be facing the Hanging Tree. Should it be enforced? Okay. Hell no. But
wow.
It exists.
You know, Trey, I had to pull the picture of that up because you said that. It's absolutely horrible. But it got me thinking. And I remember talking to some of my students in a business law class, hospitality law, about some of the dumb laws that we have in different states. Now, I'm going to just rattle off a couple here and there because I thought they were very interesting.
A
little bit stupid, but a lot interesting. Okay. One of them is it's illegal to manufacture imitation cocaine in Arizona. I can only imagine what caused that. It's illegal to manufacture imitation cocaine. That scares me on a couple of different levels. Because, okay, have you ever used compressed air in a can to, like, blow out a computer and all that good stuff?
Yes.
Okay, on the side, there's a picture of a guy with a can putting a tube in his ear and a little circle with a slash through it saying, don't do this. I can only imagine that. On a hand to do it for them to put that picture on the can. So I'm thinking, I don't know what ensued after someone manufactured the imitation cocaine. Maybe an official bought some. He was upset. I don't know. But, you know, hunting camels.
I'm sorry. Hold on, dog. So you got this individual going, wait, is this imitation? This is imitation cocaine.
Right, exactly.
Damn. I just blew my nose off enough. You know? Really? And then somebody presented a bill. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this to my damn congressman because I done just blew my nose off
with
some fake coke. No.
Exactly. So now I understand, you know, cutting down a cactus here in Arizona, that's a thing. You know, we have some cacti that are hundreds of years old.
Yes.
But there's a 25-year prison sentence for cutting down a cactus. I get that. Have there any misdemeanor committed while wearing a red mask is considered a felony. I don't know why. I'm going to tell you something else. Hey, if you got kids, plug theirs for a quick second. You may not have more than two dildos in a house. I don't understand that one. We're just going to let it go. Okay? Specifically in cities, in Globe. I had to bring it up. It was there. Okay? But you can't play cards in the street with a Native American. I don't know what the heck's that about. In Hayden, if you bother the cottontails or bullfrogs, you're going to be fine. In Maricopa County, no more than six girls can live in the house. Like, what if you have a gang of daughters? It's crazy. So, you know, you see these. Tombstone. I got to tell you this. This is on the books, I guess, still. It is illegal for men and women over the age of 18 to have less than one missing tooth visible when smiling.
Oh man, must have a whole bunch of people arrested right now. There's the campaign going.
But
my thing is this. If they have
simple, silly things like that. Those are still on the books. Imagine
if
it's life-altering things like no African-American can be walking around after 6 p.m. In Texas. There's a city there where, and everybody goes there now, but there's a city there that's still in the books where an African-American is prohibited from being outside after 6 p.m. The consequences are dire. I'll mention the word rope and then the word tree, and you put the rest together. There's another one, doesn't allow us to have more than two children. Also out the beautiful state of Texas. Two children. If you have more than two, then you're manufacturing a coup. Really?
Well, that sounds kind of Orwellian.
That's what I'm
going to
do. I'm going to have three infants, and we're going to form a coup against the whole damn state.
So,
really?
So what happens if you have triplets? I'm just curious.
My thing is this. We've poked light at some of these situations, but they're real. And if one thing is verifiable, and then there's another that's verifiable. If it's verifiable and you know that it has a standard of insanity about it, do something. Say something. Stand up for what you believe. We're actually going to make this petition real. And we're going to get some people to sign it. And we're going to send a letter before President Obama gets out of office, before the end of this year, to say, hey, look, don't let this stand. Don't have us in a position to where our rights could be lost, or our civil liberties can be impeded upon or impaired, excuse me, if time runs out. We've already seen they can do it to the whole damn nation. They can do it to a group of people. What was that? Boehner and them decided that they didn't want to sign this that bill to say, look, here's our credit rating. If you don't sign it, we're going to drop down and we're going to owe people lots of money. They let it go. And they said, okay, we were just seeing if it actually happens. I don't want to be that test subject. There's some nasty side effects to the backside of that law. Please feel free to read on it. Once you do, then you'll see how serious this issue is. We've come such a long way, and we've gotten nowhere. We've gotten nowhere, and we still so much further to go as people, period, just people, you know? Any final thoughts, my friend?
Well, I think what it is for me is, my perspective is, we have to get out there and do a little research, you know. And you were given a brain, we have to use it. And that's not a dig at anyone. I'm not by any means trying to be nasty or anything of that nature. I just think that we, as a group of humans, as Americans, we have to get out there and look at what's actually out there. And that will give us the ability to start looking at things with a different perspective, or some people say a third eye and a third ear, and because folks just do that, and we need to. And I know he's playing me off, but it's okay. I want to get this out there and say, hey, folks, you know, take a look at what you see. Take a second, listen at what you hear, and then act upon that using the brains that you were given. Folks, it has been an absolute pleasure. Trey, I look forward to seeing you again next week. It was a great show today. Folks, we appreciate you listening. Trey, take us out.
That's it. Bottom to the top. Remember, every thought is valid. Every idea is great. For every step you take, may they always be on point.
Absolutely. See you next week, folks.